The field of mental health counseling is growing rapidly, and Richmond Graduate University can equip you with everything you need as a licensed professional counselor while integrating your faith into your clinical practice. Programs are offered in Atlanta, Chattanooga, and online. Apply today at richmont.edu. That's richmont.edu.
I'm Earlonne Woods.
I'm Nigel Poor. We're the hosts and creators of Ear Hustle from PRX's Radiotopia.
Ear Hustle is a show about life inside prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast.
In this next season, we've got stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells,
about residents in a women's prison who say they want to stay there,
and the most beautiful prison garden. Earlonne, I will never forget it.
Ear Hustle, stories about life on the inside told by those who live it.
Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts.
For Wednesday, October the 13th, 2021, it's The Brief from WABE. I'm Jim Burris. A judge has dismissed a lawsuit that alleged election fraud in Fulton County during the 2020 election. A longtime critic of Georgia's election systems and a group of voters brought forth the challenge. It sought a review of some 147,000 absentee ballots to determine their legitimacy. A judge said the voters who brought the suit lack standing. An appeal is planned. U.S. Senate candidate Herschel Walker has canceled a fundraiser in Texas, this after questions were raised about the host. The cancellation comes after the Atlanta Journal-Constitution pointed out that the host's Twitter profile included a swastika-like symbol, while Walker's campaign first called the symbol an anti-mandatory vaccination graphic. Later, it called it, quote, very offensive in a statement sent to WABE. The Democratic Party of Georgia blasted Walker, saying he, quote, defended a swastika and failed to condemn a hateful anti-Semitic symbol. The Georgia Board of Regents, which oversees the state's university system, is changing its tenure process for professors. As education reporter Martha Dalton reports, more than 1,000 professors oppose the move approved by the board today out of concern it will hurt the state's ability to attract and keep talent.
Professors work for years to achieve tenure. It's not absolute job security, but it usually means they can't be fired without cause. Georgia Tech professor Janet Murray says tenure also lets professors have open discourse with students without fear of retribution. The new rules change that, she says.
It fast-tracks dismissing a faculty member, and it puts a lot of authority and power in the hands of the Board of Regents, who do not have to have the same standards of lack of conflict of interest and lack of political motives that the faculty do.
Regents are chosen by the governor, who declined to comment on the issue. Most regents don't have experience in higher education. Yanni Loukisis also teaches at Georgia Tech. Like Murray, he's tenured. He sees the changes as political and retaliatory.
It just so happened to come out right at the same time that a lot of us faculty were speaking out against the lack of mask mandates, the lack of social distancing, the lack of vaccine mandates, you know, which has been putting us all at risk.
This will hurt the reputation and the rankings of schools in our state.
Heather Pincock is an associate professor at Kennesaw State University.
It'll make it very difficult to recruit and retain talented faculty, and that's going to hurt students. That's going to hurt the economy of Georgia.
A statement from the university system says, in part, the changes are meant to support career development for faculty and to ensure accountability once they've achieved tenure. Meanwhile, the American Association of University Professors warned state officials last month it would investigate and possibly censure Georgia's university system if the changes to tenure were approved. Martha Dalton, WABE News.
The union that represents thousands of behind-the-scenes film workers across the country and here in Georgia has set a strike date. The International Alliance of Theatrical Stage Employees says a nationwide strike will begin Monday at 3 a.m. Eastern Time or midnight on the West Coast if no agreement is reached with film and TV producers. An overwhelming majority of members of the union voted earlier this month to authorize the strike. The union is calling for higher wages and stiffer penalties for producers who extend workdays. A strike could affect dozens of ongoing productions in Georgia and other businesses that rely on the film and TV industry. About 80,000 UnitedHealthcare members now must pay more out of pocket if they want care through a WellStar Health System hospital or physician. Those numbers are from WellStar's Senior Vice President of Managed Care, Barbara Corey. Contract negotiations between the pair ended in a stalemate earlier this month. And when I spoke with Barbara Corey earlier today, she gave me a rundown of the core issues that continue to divide the two sides.
So the first issue is that we are asking UnitedHealthcare to recognize our independent physician partners, our clinically integrated physicians that partner with us and work closely with WellStar, but that are independent. And we're asking them to recognize them as a network. And we are the only major system in Atlanta where UHC has not agreed to do that. And then the second issue is we are simply asking UnitedHealthcare to pay us what other insurance companies pay us.
In general, is that more than, say, another health system, like, say, Emory, for example?
You know, I'm not really privy to what the various insurance companies would pay another healthcare system. But, you know, what I can say is I know the statements that UnitedHealthcare has made publicly. And, you know, from my perspective, they made those same statements about Northside a couple months ago when they were in a contract dispute with them. And, you know, if you look around the country, this is United's kind of standard playbook. And they make that statement routinely about whichever system they happen to be in contractual dispute with. So that's what I see from my perspective.
In a statement to WABE today, UnitedHealthcare blamed the failed negotiations on WellStar, saying its hospitals are already the most expensive in Atlanta and that WellStar refuses to move off of its demands for what it calls an egregious 37% price hike over 3 years. Here's Corey's response.
I don't know how to really respond to that other than to say that we are simply asking UnitedHealthcare to pay us the same amount that other insurance companies do pay us. As a not-for-profit organization, our typical margins, we typically save about 4 to 5 cents on the dollar, all of which is reinvested directly back into the community in terms of additional services and, you know, cutting-edge equipment. So I think that when United wants to talk about egregious profits, you know, a simple Google search will show you that in 2020 alone, in the midst of the pandemic, they had their parent company made $22 billion, which was record profit for them.
And no matter which side you're on, patients are caught in the middle. Are you hearing from them about the predicament?
We are. And I think that as we talk to patients, we understand that they really do not want to be caught in the middle of this. You know, from their perspective, they want to see the doctors that they have relationships with. They want to access WellStar facilities. We also have put things in place to help these patients during this transitional period. One, we are encouraging patients where it makes sense and is clinically appropriate to consider rescheduling their appointments for later out to see if there's an opportunity for this to for us to come to agreement with UnitedHealthcare. We also have provided our physicians are ready and willing to and able to assist those patients that have ongoing care treatment plans and would need to apply for a waiver of continuity of care with UnitedHealthcare. This would allow them to be able to continue to see their current physicians through their course of treatment. And our physicians are ready and willing to assist with that and to help them to submit that to United for consideration. In addition to that, we do have folks available at 956-STAR to answer patient questions and help them navigate the situation. And then we're encouraging patients as open enrollment periods come up to look at what other opportunities there might be if it's important to them to stay with their WellStar physician and facilities. And if they do have an option with other insurance companies to consider that and look at that as they go through their open enrollment period.
Barbara Corey is WellStar Health System's Senior Vice President of Managed Care. Barbara, thank you for taking the time this afternoon. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Jim. It's a pleasure.
And she referenced a $20 billion profit from UnitedHealthcare for 2020. And the best numbers that we can find are between $15 and $16 billion.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.
Local, state, national politics. WABE and NPR have the coverage you need. I'm Jim Burris, host of WABE's All Things Considered. Whether it's on the air at 90.1, streaming online, or connecting through our mobile app, WABE keeps you on top of election 2024 in what's sure to be a pivotal year in politics. And for candidates and ballot information, visit our election hub at wabe.org/election2024.